It's time now for the Sports Objective Podcast. No talking heads, just guys who love sports. Here's Dave Richmond.
Thank you very much, Brian Freeman. Welcome into a great edition of the Sports Objective Podcast. This is our preview of the East Carolina Regional in Greenville, and of course the North Carolina, I should say the NCAA Regional as well overall, gets started today, so we wanted to go ahead and get this preview out to you, or if not, it's no reason to have the preview, right? So with us, we have two great guests, and I'm very excited, folks. In fact, the very first guest is Dave Nathan of the Tar Heel Sports Network. We'll have him on and talk about the Pirate preview, the regional, plus we also have in there as well, we have him talking about all the teams of the Triangle, including the Tar Heels. So we'll have him and Corey Glore, the voice of East Carolina baseball and the Pirate IMG Sports Network. He'll be joining us. We've got an interview with him, and I know that'll be great as well. As East Carolina, the big day is today, the first time in nine years, almost a decade, that the Pirates have hosted a regional in Greenville at Clark LeClaire Stadium. It's going to be fantastic as well. Want to remind you as well, make sure you like us on Facebook. We'd love to have you like our Facebook page. Plus, you can follow us on Twitter. A lot of people are doing that. Appreciate that very much. At the Sports OBJ. And also, folks, don't forget as well that you can go and follow us on Instagram, and it's at the Sports Objective. Very easy to remember, at the Sports Objective. You can do that. Love to have you. It's a lot of fun. We appreciate all the great feedback we're getting. If you want to email us, by the way, it's davidrichman@thesportsobjective.com. davidrichman@thesportsobjective.com. We'd love for you to email us. Love to get feedback on that as well. Got a lot of great things happening coming up this month in June. As we start our watch party, we were going to watch old Pirate football games on YouTube, wherever we can get them, and we hope you'll join us for that, and we'll have that coming up very soon. We're working on that behind the scenes, so love for you to definitely give us feedback on that. Maybe you have a favorite game that you want us to do. davidrichman@thesportsobjective.com. And the very first episode will be watching the 1999 Miami game, and it was not in Greenville because of Hurricane Floyd. It was actually at NC State at Carter Finley Stadium in Raleigh. And we'll be doing that one coming up very soon. The watch party is going to be a lot of fun. Also a lot of fun is our podcast party, July 21st. And that's going to be at Professor O'Cool's in Greenville. The Pirate Football Nostalgia Party. Cannot wait for that. It's going to be great. But right now we're talking baseball. And let's go first to our interview with Dave Nathan of the Tar Heel Sports Network. And let's do that interview right now.
You're listening to the Sports Objective Podcast. I'm Dave Richmond, and with me right now, another Dave Nathan from the Tar Heel Sports Network. Dave, thank you so much for coming on.
My pleasure. Always good to talk a little baseball here in late May and early June.
It is. It's the All Dave Show right now. If your name is Dave, then you can be on with us right now. But I'll tell you what, I'm so excited about this year. It's been a tremendous baseball year for North Carolina, not only for the Tar Heels, but just the state of North Carolina, the Tar Heel State. And I think doing my math right before we came on, I think there's 7 teams out of 64 that are from the state of North Carolina. So it's a pretty great field. I want to start off with you being with North Carolina and UNC. What do you think about the Tar Heels' chances this year to win the College World Series?
Well, you have to like at least the way the path shapes up with Carolina getting a 6th seed nationally. And of course, if you win your region, you're at home for a super regional. And again, these are no small feats to get past. Just winning a couple of games to begin your path to Omaha is tough, as Carolina found out a year ago. But with the regional shaping up now against North Carolina A&T, a team that Carolina beat all the way back in March, I think it was 1-0. And then Purdue and Houston, I'm digging into the Boilermakers and Cougars right now as we speak to try to figure out what they're about. You get past those three teams, you would likely face somebody from that DeLand Regional with Stetson as the 11th best team in the country entering the tournament. South Florida, team that the Tar Heels took 2 or 3 from back at the beginning of the season. Oklahoma State came to Chapel Hill a couple of years ago and got walked off 3 times in their own Hartford. So that's the path for Carolina. Going by the numbers, Carolina obviously is the best seeded team, but again, that doesn't always guarantee you a path to Omaha. So that's where it starts before we start getting to those final eight teams in the College World Series, Dave.
You know, I was looking at being another thing that's interesting. Out of the six teams that made it from the ACC, three of them are a very short drive. It's a very short ride. With the Triangle Schools, it's amazing this year with North Carolina, North Carolina State, and Duke. There was a chance just a couple weeks ago. That's the way that this business works with baseball, where it looked like there was a potential of four North Carolina schools hosting. I don't know if that's ever been done, but it was amazing to see four in the top 10 at one point this season with North Carolina, North Carolina State, Duke, and ECU all in the top 10 for a brief moment. But I wanted to get your take. When you were talking about Houston, I can tell you the Cougars are a very good team. The thing that's been hurting the Cougars this year was their non-conference schedule, Dave, and that really hurt them as far as their RPI. But they're a dangerous team. I don't know how they're pitching. Their pitching's been decent. I don't know this time of year how it's going to hold up. They played us, East Carolina. The first game, they beat us. And then the second game, as far as the tournament is concerned, in the semifinals, East Carolina had an easy day, 12-1, and finished up with, I guess they call it the mercy rule, but in the tournament, the seventh inning. But they're a decent team in there. And one of the regionals I was going to ask you about that was very interesting for North Carolina as far as the state is concerned, the Georgia regional. In Athens, when you have Georgia, Duke is the two seed, and you have Campbell, I think, if my memory serves me right, as a four seed. Did you see that one?
Yeah, I saw it as they were unveiled on Monday. And, yeah, I mean, listen, I've never had a bad time in Athens, and if it wasn't for having to work games in Chapel Hill, boy, I wouldn't mind going down to Georgia to not only see the Bulldogs, but those other North Carolina schools that you talk about. And just Duke, school records for wins was 40 this year. It's too bad that Chris Pollard's 16 doesn't get a chance to host. But still, Duke took two or three from Carolina just a couple of weeks ago. And I wouldn't put anything past the Blue Devils. They're just a team that doesn't make a lot of mistakes. Best fielding team in the ACC, one of the best in the country. Pitching left a little something to be desired in Durham the other day, but Griffin Conine is as good of a hitter, I think, as there is in the Atlantic Coast Conference. He's got some big-time potential coming up at the next level, an experienced group for Duke, a lot of juniors and seniors. There's only one freshman that starts, and that's Joey Loperfido over at first base. And these kind of things, they begin to matter, I think, a little bit once you get into to tournament time. And there are a handful of Duke Blue Devils that have gotten some experience come postseason play back when Duke ended its, I think, 55-year drought, making the field of 64 back in 2016. So whether or not Duke gets to host or goes to Athens or wherever, I can assure you they've got just as good a chance as anybody to make it into the Super Regionals.
It's amazing because as somebody originally from Durham, you always hear about North Carolina, North Carolina State in that area. And for Duke to be in the conversation and it's not basketball is amazing. And now with, of course, Coach Cutt being there for about 10 years in Durham, and now with Chris Pollard, he's just done an amazing job there. I wanted to ask you about with Avent at NC State, what do you think about State hosting a regional? What do you think about their chances?
Well, North Carolina State, you know, man for man at the plate, I thought was as imposing as any roster there was this year in the ACC. And again, you get back to experience and the ability to hit the long ball. Patrick Bailey was the ACC's freshman of the year. I mean, they can mash with the best of them. That's not the way the game is played once you get to Omaha. But in terms of getting to Omaha, it certainly helps to hit some 2- and 3-run homers. And Brown for North Carolina State, for whatever reason, the Tar Heels have had his number over the last couple of years. But the ACC pitcher of the year. And so, I mean, NC State is a big-time team. Elliott Avent's taken his bunch to the College World Series back in 2013 was the last time. So, yeah, I mean, listen, North Carolina State might not be a top-8 seed, but they've got top-8 talent. And they're just as ready to get into this field of 8 in Omaha as anybody, I think, from out of the ACC.
It's interesting because for folks listening for the first time that may not know, there's 16 regionals and there's 4 teams in each regional. That's how you get the 64. And then there's 8 super regionals that'll be next week. And are you guys doing a host selection show next Tuesday, Dave?
Not that I know of. I think right now all we're worried about is just getting out of the regional.
Okay. All right. One step at a time. Yeah, I know. I don't want to jinx it for sure. For Tar Heel fans for sure. I know that another note I wanted to mention too is Mike Martin of Florida State. What an impressive 1,976 wins. And the reason I'm bringing him up, not only that, is two reasons. One is he was voted in last month in May in the North Carolina Sports Hall of Fame. Very cool being from the area and North Carolina. And also I mentioned read today that I knew they had many appearances, didn't know it was they had the longest streak at Florida State with 41 straight appearances in the tournament. That's just amazing.
Yeah, it's crazy. With Miami now, for the last couple of years, they snapped a 44 consecutive year streak into the NCAA tournament up until last year. So Jim Morris's run down in South Florida unfortunately came to a little bit of a premature end with them not making the field of 64 this year for the second time. But Mike Martin, as you said, winningest coach all time in the history of college baseball, two-time ACC tournament champs, and they've gotten it done every which way. So you take your hat off to Mike Martin for getting it done in Tallahassee as often as he has.
One of the things that I've always said is that East Carolina's never made the College World Series, and the bad thing for me personally is that the College World Series is about the same time as my anniversary. And I'm always wondering, would my wife forgive me if I was not there on my anniversary, or would she go with me to Omaha if that ever does happen? So it's an interesting thing, but we'll take it, like you said, one step at a time. And the top eight seeds, I was going to ask you about Florida. Do you think they will repeat this year? Do you think they have a good shot?
Well, they got a good shot. I mean, they've been the best team, it would seem, for the entire year, but I can remember – I guess it was back in 2014. They were the number two seed in the entire event, and they were two and done on their own field. So, I mean, you just never know in a sport like this what's going to happen. The best thing Florida can do, like anybody else, is win your first game, and the path gets a lot easier to get to a super regional. Now, that being said, I can't tell you exactly what Florida's got, the way I can tell you what else is going on around the ACC, Dave, but certainly the committee thought enough of Florida. They play in a league that's as tough as any in the Southeastern Conference. And if you're thought of by essentially your peers as the best team out there, listen, you've got a good chance, but it still doesn't guarantee anything. You got to go out there and do the work. You've got to be hungry, and you've got to understand that you're going to get everybody's best shot every time you set foot out there on the field. And they know what this is all about, having done it once before. So I don't think that hurts their cause this year.
Looking at the breakdown, Southeastern Conference, SEC had 10, Atlantic Coast Conference was 6, Big 12 was 5, American at 4, Big 10 4, Pac-12 4, Atlantic Sun 2, Conference USA 2, and there's a number of others as well. But it's interesting to see, again, half the teams in the ACC are in your part of the country. They're in North Carolina and in the Triangle, and I'll tell you what, it's been – a tremendous ride for the Triangle schools of the ACC. And then I know East Carolina. What do you know about East Carolina? What are your thoughts on the Pirates?
Well, I know this. They handed it to Carolina pretty good back at the beginning of the season. Just going back and looking through things here, it was a 2-1 win for the Pirates in the first game. They played Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I think one was in Greenville, one was in Chapel Hill, and one was in Durham. So it was a pretty unique setup. The first two games were one-run games, and then East Carolina won 12-0 in the third game. So I don't think there's any question. Coach Godwin and the boys in Greenville are among the nation's best. And again, a lot like Florida, when you play in the league that East Carolina plays in, you're going to be the hunted every time you set foot on a field. And to have gone through the league the way that they did, I think is pretty impressive. And now you're on to the next task if you're East Carolina. And we'll see if they can make it through. But listen, I've got a lot of respect for what the Pirates baseball program is all about, their fan support. From what I've seen as I've made it over to Greenville for more than a couple of games is as good as there is. And listen, from a state of North Carolina perspective, you want the best for a lot of these teams to go forward, because it does nothing but help our area. And our area's got it pretty good right now.
I do. I want to give a shout out to Mike Fox, a tremendous — I met him a couple times. He's a tremendous person, in addition to a tremendous coach. And I know that he wants desperately to win a College World Series. He came close a couple times, right? I know one time it was a number of years ago that they were really, really close down to the last two teams.
Yeah.
And I remember that. And I thought that, as a matter of fact, I thought that Carolina was going to win that series and then came up short a couple times. But I know that with Coach Fox, I want to give him a tremendous amount of respect, too, because he was willing to play that series. I think it was good for the state of North Carolina, but also it was good for UNC and East Carolina. And I hope that we'll continue that series in the future, having that, like you said, one in Greenville, one in at UNC in Chapel Hill, and then one at the DBAP with the Durham Bulls. I thought that was a great thing for baseball this year.
Yeah, I mean, when you're good, you want to go out there and play the best. And even though Coach Fox would argue that your league really determines more about your postseason future than anything else, RPI doesn't hurt either. And when you go out and play those games, it helps everybody. You know, win or lose, you want to win the games, but just by playing them, I think you at least help your cause and you help your argument when your numbers get put in front of a committee and you're now being looked at more so as a statistic than an actual team. So I don't think East Carolina or Carolina hurt themselves at all by playing those three games. And in a lot of cases, I think they helped themselves, even though it was so early on in the year. These are the same types of games that you're going to be playing right now and into next week. And even when you get to Omaha, that's the kind of caliber of competition that any one of these teams is going to be playing.
Exactly. That was my point I was going to make. We were talking earlier in the interview about Houston. Houston was sweating. They did make the cut. They did make the field of 64, but they were Dave, like I was saying, that they were a good team, but with their non-conference schedule was I think it's generous to say weak. I don't have the teams in front of me, and we don't have time to talk about each team that they played, but that was what really hurt them. And to think about East Carolina and North Carolina, there's a lot of teams that have played really good competition. And like you said, the reason why you play those games like East Carolina and Carolina did was to prepare you for your tournament and obviously postseason after your own tournament for the conference. And I think looking at the field, I know East Carolina's got a tough they've got some tough teams in there. Ohio State is in there, and that Wilmington team is a really good team. And I know they're out of the Colonial, but and people may not know that they're a really good baseball team, and you never need to overlook. That's East Carolina. I believe that's their first game coming up this weekend, and you never need to overlook a team, especially when you get this time of year like you were talking about, right?
Well, no question. I mean, UNCW beat Carolina twice this year, once in Chapel Hill at the beginning of the year, and then just a couple of weeks ago over at the Coast. So, listen, the Seahawks and Coach Gaff, they're tough. And, again, just another illustration of how good the baseball is in the state, whether you're talking about being on the coast or in Greenville or in the Triangle, even out in the Triad with North Carolina A&T that came awful close to upsetting Carolina in the regular season and now draws them on Friday in the first game of the regionals. So it's a good baseball state, and it's evidenced by all the teams that are among the field of 64.
It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out, and hopefully – we can talk about multiple out of the 16 teams that are remaining next week. I'm hoping that we can talk about the Tar Heels, and I know there's the Wolfpack, the Blue Devils, there's the Aggies, I know the Seahawks are in there, the Camels. Hopefully I'm not leaving, but there's seven teams that hopefully we can be talking about. That would be great, wouldn't it, to have out of the 16 that set all seven advance. It's going to be really rough for that to happen, and I know that it won't because of Duke and Wilmington playing, Wilmington and East Carolina playing in the same bracket. But Dave, I appreciate you coming on, man. I know that you've been busy today and you've had a rough day with all that going on, but it's an exciting time. And I'm hoping that, again, that it's going to be a good tournament and hopefully we can see our teams make it all the way to the College World Series in Omaha. That would be really cool.
Listen, a rough day is out digging trenches in the rain. A good day is watching the selection show in the rain. So I'll take a good day watching the selection show, and we'll see what happens once all these games get underway on Friday afternoon.
All right, and hopefully we can have you back on, certainly towards the end of maybe the College World Series. There's certainly the summer to talk about the Tar Heels with the – it's hard to believe it's around the corner with football season just a couple months away.
No, it never stops. Never stops.
Thank you very much to Dave Nathan of the Tar Heel Sports Network. Appreciate him very much. A good radio friend. We've known each other for a long time, since going all the way back to about 2010, 2011, somewhere in there. So appreciate him very much. A busy day, and appreciate him. I know we recorded the interview earlier this week, but definitely getting ready for a big regional in Chapel Hill today. Appreciate him stopping by. Next up, a guy who's very busy, who's nice enough to stop by with us, is Corey Glore of the Pirate IMG Sports Network, the voice of the ECU baseball team. And what a year, folks, it's been. It's been a tremendous year, and we're going to go to him right now, and it's going to be a great interview. I just have a feeling.
You're listening to the Sports Objective Podcast, and ladies and gentlemen, we've got a great announcer here for the Pirates, East Carolina baseball announcer from the Pirate IMG Sports Network, Corey Glore. Thanks, man, for coming on. I know you're very busy right now.
Oh, no. Thanks for having me, Dave.
It's been a wild ride since we last talked. Last time we were talking right before the Houston series, a very tough series for the Pirates, but what a difference a few weeks makes, right?
Yeah, maybe we shouldn't be doing this before this weekend if that's what happened the last time we chatted, but I'm willing to test fate. I'm willing to test fate.
I just thought about that about 10 minutes ago. I said, I hope that there's not some kind of jinx I'm putting on the Pirates, but you know what? I have a lot of confidence in Cliff Godwin and this team. It's been an amazing ride, an amazing season. And as I know we've talked about before, when you look at a baseball season, it's very different than even a basketball, or you could argue a football season. It's a marathon and not a sprint. And it seems like this team is definitely built for a long ride, and we're hoping that it'll be definitely past this weekend. I wanted to bring you on to talk about the regional and get your thoughts as a preview before this regional this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. This team was kind of built this way for a run like they made last week, and hopefully a run that they'll make this month, because there's just so much talent up and down the roster. And it really came to last week in the conference tournament when they needed to find a way to get innings eaten up from the pitching staff, and a very unexpected guy in the form of Jake Kuchmaner did it. I think that was against Houston. That was kind of the moment where you said, all right, maybe there's something more here, where you have a guy like that step up and put out the outing of his life. And that set the Pirates up to win the conference the next day against UConn. And so now you head into this weekend with three truly difficult teams to see. And you look at what the Pirates were able to do last week under very strange and exhausting circumstances, and say, yeah, they got as good a shot as any to come out of this regional, because you can put anybody really on the mound. You can put anybody in the lineup, and by and large, you're going to get the job done, because that's what we saw a week ago. And now you're going to need instances like that again over the course of regional play. And so now I think over the last couple of weeks, we've seen examples of this team being able to do that.
You know, Corey, I know there's a lot of fans have talking. I've been talking about since the selection show on Monday that it's a very tough regional in Greenville this weekend. But the way that I look at it is, this is exactly what's going to prepare the Pirates if they ever have a chance to make it to Omaha. You've got to play tough competition. And, you know, you could look at it like, hey, if we had an easy regional and you have a tough opponent next week, and then it would be setting yourself up maybe for failure. But when you have a tough schedule, a regional, I know people are saying that's spin, but if you look at it like that, then every single game is going to be tough from here on out.
Well, I'll say this. Every regional is difficult, because you're dealing with, even if you look at some of the other regionals around the country this year, you're dealing with conference champions as your four seed, or, you know, big name programs that had maybe a little bit of a down year as your two or your three, or you're going to an SEC, an ACC contender, or Pac-12 champion. I mean, there's no clean way through a regional, any regional. And so, you know, weighing how difficult this one is compared to some of the others, it's natural to do that. And when you break down the numbers and when you break down just kind of the quality of, I mean, we've seen one of these teams that's coming into this regional, and we know how good that team is. And we know the pedigree of the other two. I think people are fair to say that this is a very difficult regional, maybe more so than what you would expect a 12 seed or the number 12 team in terms of national rankings to have to combat with. But when push comes to shove, we have case after case after case of teams that maybe people thought they were overlooking, fans weren't really treating too terribly seriously, and coming out of it and winding up in the super regional. So now heading into this regional, I don't think there's anybody that's looking at, you know, the Wilmington matchup and saying that's a breeze, because we know what Wilmington is. We've seen them twice this year already, and those were two very close, very high intensity games. And now you add weekend rotations into the fold when it comes to these two. I mean, you have a regional here where legitimately all four seeds have a chance to make it out. That's doable in a lot of other regionals. This one, by these four, looking at just these resumes, I think that that's fair to say for this one, maybe more so than the others.
Well, I understand the fan. As a fan, you want it to be an easy breeze and have easy games. But again, when you look at South Carolina, they've won in recent years, they've won titles. And you look at the three seed Ohio State. I don't know a lot about Ohio State, but I'm sure that for them to be a three seed in the tournament, they're going to be good. And of course, like you said, we know what Wilmington is. They're a rival. But to me, I like having Wilmington in there because that adds to the excitement of the regional. I mean, you know, I really don't have a problem with the other three teams that are selected. And the way that I look at it is I kind of have a Cliff Godwin kind of attitude. Anytime, anywhere, any place, we'll play you. And that's the way I look at this. I'm just happy, for starters, I wanted to get your take. Being, I know this is your third season. What is it like being an announcer and you actually get to be a part of a regional, hosting a regional versus one away like 2 years ago in Charlottesville?
Well, I mean, we'll find out. I would be lying if I said there weren't a little bit of nerves heading in for me, because I'm going to be sitting in that booth, which I've spent a lot of time in, and calling baseball, which I've done quite a bit here over the last couple of years, and, you know, above, you know, fans that I've sat with for years now. But there is a slightly different feel about this. There is a slightly different element about what this weekend will be. And then add into the fact that they're doing it here at Clark LeClair. And there's, you know, it's kind of, I keep trying to tell myself this week as I've been in prep mode for these three teams that this is just a game and I'm going to approach this and these broadcasts as I would in the other broadcast if it were, you know, a midweek game against Wilmington or an NCAA tournament game against Wilmington. But by and large, the broadcast, I want to head into this with a somewhat similar tone. But I also understand that, you know, when I stick my microphone out the window for crowd effects and crowd noise, I'm probably going to be riding that a little bit lower than usual because the crowd will be very, very loud and very boisterous. And that will add to the level of dramatics that will likely occur this weekend and the intensity that hopefully I can kind of translate and bring it to the broadcast. But when push comes to shove, it's nine innings of baseball and that's going to tell the tale. So I just hopefully will bring it to you as cleanly as effectively as possible.
Got to give you a major shout out to I was enjoying listening to you. There are a lot of Pirate fans like myself that our hearts were in Clearwater, even though we had to work real time, full time jobs and the reality of having to work and trying to sneak and listen to games. Appreciate you very much for doing that, where we have the sound as low as possible, so maybe people don't figure out if they do, hey, it's tournament time. And we're trying really hard, so we appreciate you and Coach O being there and calling the games for us. It was a tremendous experience, and I think that through adversity, what was interesting about that conference tournament, we'll move back to the regional in just a second, is the fact that through adversity, it seems that's when this team thrives. I mean, they're down, and all of a sudden, they come back from a – they can give you five or six runs in an inning, and it just seems like the song meant to be. It seems like it was meant to be that it was crazy for – tournaments are always crazy, but it seems to be with the weather and the tournament with the conference concerning about trying to get all the games in. It was just a wild ride, but we thank you for definitely being there for that for the wild ride. And it wasn't even Disney World or even Universal.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. It was, I'd be slightly lying if I would say that week was, 100% enjoyable for all involved, because being around that team and being around other teams and being around people that were associated with that tournament, it was chaotic, and it was something that really needs to be looked at more strongly by the league for how things were handled. But when it came to the games themselves, I think the first thing you're probably referring to is that Tulane game in the winner's bracket, where they came back with a 5-run 8th inning in a game that they were really being handled, and they really could have called it a day and made things a little bit more challenging for them. But then they were able to eventually figure out the Tulane starter, Caleb Roper, who was really slicing and dicing the whole day, and able to just get to him and then get to the bullpen and kind of unleash from there. We've seen that a couple of times now the last few weeks, Dave, where this team has kind of found a second gear or so, or just kind of really buckled down and got the job done late with comebacks. And that hadn't always been the case during the course of this season. This team had long been a team that if they were trailing late, you could see a little bit of pressing. You could see a little bit of squeezing of the bat. You could see them kind of flutter away. But now we've had, over the last few weeks, when it's gotten down to crunch time, this team find ways to really pull things out at the last. And you're going to need to do that this weekend, regardless of who it might be against. You're going to need late game situation execution, like what we have seen now and have a couple of examples of over the course of the last couple of weeks heading into the NCAA tournament. And it's going to be more nerve-wracking, and you're going to have to find a way to kind of eliminate all the stakes, I feel, when you get down to the last couple innings of a game and it's a tight game, because it can weigh on your mind where suddenly you're in a spot where, my season could end if I don't get this done. And finding a way to get that out of your mind is going to be the biggest key for everyone this weekend, because, three teams aren't going to make it out of Greenville with their season intact. So who can come through? Who can be the one that can come through in those spots where they need to come through? That's going to be the only difference here. And we've seen cases now of ECU being able to do that over the last couple of weeks, including a game at Wilmington not too long ago. So, and it's can you find a way to kind of calm the waters when things get really choppy and pull off what you need to do? And that's what it all is going to come down to.
And we know that the first pitcher to get the ball is Holba. I know that some people maybe, uneasy, but I really like Holba, and I tell you what, he's been the guy this year. He's been very clutch for East Carolina, starting off with a 9-0 start, 9-0 start, and I really like our chances when you put him in there. And then, like I've said before to you, in the past, it's always been, and same way you could look at Major League Baseball, where you have a situation where the middle relief is where you kind of have to hold your breath for a few innings. But this team, when you have Benton coming out of the bullpen and Agnos has been out of the bullpen, and then you're like, wow, these guys are – and then Davis Kirkpatrick and those guys. I mean, the bullpen is probably the best I've seen in quite a while.
Yeah, and I think that's been such a key element, Dave, about this team, is that it's almost like – I mean, you're right. Major League Baseball has really sort of turned into what we're seeing with these Pirates, where the starting pitcher if the starter can get you five or six, and ideally your starting pitcher's going seven innings, and then you don't worry about middle relief. But if you can get them five, if you can get them six, then you turn it over to all the trusted arms in your bullpen. We've seen that with the Indians of late making their World Series run. The Astros have certainly done it recently. Now they have a great rotation. The Kansas City Royals kind of started this a few years ago, where the bullpen's the key. And so it's almost kind of turned into, Dave, like basketball, where so much emphasis is put on the starting five in basketball, but that's really not the key. It's who's going to end the game, like who's out there in the final moments. And that's what this has turned into now for ECU. Who's the arm or arms that are needed to get the key outs late? And there's no set closer for this team. There is, a group of five that you can really look at and throw out there in late game situations. Then on to the fact that Holba is going to have a week and a half off before he makes the start tomorrow. And it's a team that he may not be terribly familiar with, but the team certainly is familiar with and seeing them many times already this year. So, I mean, you're going to see a tenacious outing from Chris tomorrow. Whether or not Wilmington's able to hit him, that's what we're going to find out. But what you're going to see is a rested and determined Chris Holba to try and start this off on the right foot. And whatever happens after that will happen. But I mean, you're right. This was the right call to make. Chris Holba's the guy, has been the guy all year long. You give him the shot to start off the first regional at home in 10 years.
It's amazing. In fact, with when you look at the pitching and the depth, I think that some people may argue that, when you, as far as the starters, but, like you have so many people in the bullpen. The other way to look at that, though, is when Cliff Godwin was talking about the top 20, top 30 recruiting classes, he's talked about the pitching and how good the pitching was. Well, here of late, we've noticed that it's really come alive since the last time we talked. The people are stepping up, and the so-called freshmen are not freshmen anymore. It's a whole new season, and that's what's great about this team. And the difference before, I think we've always had the offense, but the pitching has been where you'd have good starters, but maybe not the relief. So that's going to be good so far. I wanted to ask you, in addition to Wilmington, what do you know about Ohio State and South Carolina?
They're both teams. We'll start with South Carolina because I think they're the kind of the team that raises the most eyebrows heading into this regional. And if you look at a lot of prognostications, a lot of folks like them coming out of this regional. It's a team that, it's one, keep in mind, it's first year coach Mark Kingston, who the Pirates know very well from his time at USF, and in fact had struggles taking care of USF's and Kingston's teams over the years. It is a team that has really found its footing over the last month of the season. They were kind of wallowing around in some really poor baseball to start off the year, trying to figure out how to get the talent to adapt to the philosophy of Mark Kingston, which is an analytic-driven philosophy. So there's a lot of numbers at play with what South Carolina does. You'll see a ton of defensive shifts from them. And that offense finally kicked it into high gear where they won their last, I believe, five SEC series heading into the conference tournament. And the pitching, you always have some SEC pitching talent, and South Carolina has it. But the lineup finally started to kick it into high gear. And so now you're seeing a team that is very numbers-based, is very defensive, analytic-based, as one of the better defensive teams that you might see here in this tournament. And now a lineup that's begun to kind of really turn it on. Ohio State is a team that's kind of similar to what ECU has been, pretty good at depth in the pitching staff, as well as some decent hitters in the lineup. I think ECU overall probably has the best lineup of the four teams coming in. But Ohio State has a couple of meat guys in the middle of the order, and they have been able to kind of battle and grind through a difficult Big Ten schedule. And I say that knowing that the Big Ten isn't as strong as even the American is in baseball, but you talk about a team that has to go through a ton of weather issues at the beginning of the year and then go on the, take on the Indianas, the Minnesotas, the Nebraskas, some really good high-quality programs, and get the job done. They get a little bit thinner when you get kind of out of their main weekend rotation and in towards the bullpen. But it's a team that, by and large, is just kind of solidly built with kind of what ECU has been. And to find a way to get the job done, by and large, in Big Ten play is a challenge that I don't think people truly appreciate in the sport, because there's so many other elements when it comes to playing in the Big Ten that Ohio State had to combat with. And this is a team that's a tournament mainstay over the last couple of years, too. So they have that on their side. All four of these schools are no stranger to the NCAA tournament. So you're going to have four coaches, including a first-year coach in Mark Kingston, that likely won't panic in certain situations because they have now they have entertained this tournament already in recent times.
I know, Corey, I was reading early in the week, which I never really thought about, but the Pirates have over 20, I can't remember how many, 20, is it 24 appearances, 26 appearances over the years, and they were the longest drought without going to Omaha. Do you think that's something that the players think about, or is that just something for those of us in the media to talk about?
It's very much the last. I would guarantee that the players are not aware of what that streak is. And you're right, that streak is now into the high 20s. And you know, there weren't a ton of guys on the 2016 team that are still bumming around this team. I mean, it was probably a good, you know, quarter of the roster that was on that 2016 team, and how close they came to snapping that streak against
right.
Texas Tech. Included, it was the ball off the bat of one of the main contributors this year, Brady Lloyd, that nearly got him there. That they could not tell you the number. I'm sure Cliff Godwin probably knows that number and won't admit that he knows it. He probably is aware of the length of that streak right now. No, I mean, that's a storyline for media members. It's something that I will probably mention off top, you know, offhand during the course of the weekend, because it is an element at play. And it is, you know, for me, it's also, there are historical contexts to moments like this too, that you want to work in, and you cannot avoid that one. I mean, it's hovering over. There's no question about it, but I can guarantee you the 35 that are hanging out in that clubhouse today, getting ready for this regional, have no concept of how long that streak is.
I wanted to ask you about the very fact of the recruiting classes coming in, as we talked about before. I know you say you don't pay attention. No, I don't pay attention as much as some people do when it comes to recruiting. But I wanted to ask you, with the recruiting classes that you've seen come in since you've been here, it looks like that, I know it sounds like a cliche, but we were talking about earlier in the interview with you about teams being built, but it seems like that it's a step each year in the right direction. Last year was, I think, anomaly, as we see a lot of Pirate fans were so down, thinking that we are so disappointed. There's been a fire in this team this year. Do you see the Pirates making a deep run? I mean, what do you think overall? What is your gut feeling?
No problem. I think they have the talent and the wherewithal and the makeup to make a run. I think that's undeniable. With what we have seen this year, you don't stumble into 43 wins. I mean, it just
right.
That doesn't happen. And so this team is built top to bottom to make a run to Omaha. I'll throw that out there right now. Where things get rocky is this weekend. And you even take out the three teams that are coming into Greenville. Regional play is just a different animal. And there's just a different layer of weirdness to this setup. It's frankly, I'm not a terribly big fan of how a regional is set up. I would love to see an extra week of the tournament and just have best of three series around the 64 teams like we have it in super regional play to start off the tournament, because I think you get a better handle and a better semblance of the quality of teams over the course of a weekend. That's a topic for another day. But there's just there's an element of randomness at times to a regional play, where one bounce could mean the end of it, and one bounce could mean suddenly you're fighting for your playoff lives and your tournament lives, when you might be the best team involved. So it's, you know, I don't know if you can say firmly that the Pirates are going to make it out of this weekend, just because regional play is just a completely different animal from what any of these teams, you know, experience during the course of a season. So who's going to step up in a big moment in a game that you need to win, in a game to save your season, in a game to move on to the super regionals? Like, that, I mean, these are all elements in play that no one knows the answers to. And as someone who's seen regional play before, we forget, in Charlottesville, the Pirates were the 3 seed in that
right.
regional, and they beat the 4 seed in the tournament, or in the regional final in William and Mary to get there. I mean, there's so many different things that can happen. Davidson, a 4 seed, beat North Carolina last year as a national 2 seed. I mean, there's just anything can happen this weekend. That's part of the drama of this weekend. It's part of the detriment of this setup. But heading into this tournament, the Pirates certainly have the makeup to make a run to the College World Series. It's whether or not the matchups work in their favor and whether or not they can get the job done in crunch time.
And having my media hat on and not a coach hat on, I wanted to ask you about the Pirates are paired with the Arkansas Regional in Fayetteville. I want to get your take. What are your thoughts on the teams there? I know there's obviously Arkansas, and I believe there's Southern Miss. And is it Dallas Baptist in there as well?
Yeah, I think you're right there. I mean, the top 2 seeds are as good as anybody in the nation. I mean, there are, again, you look at all the national media that love Arkansas to not just make it out of that regional, but to win a national title. And Southern Miss has long been this year the bell cow of Conference USA. They were in the hosting conversation for a long time before they kind of evened out over the last 6 weeks of the season. I mean, you're talking about, and now with this setup here, that's the number 5 national team in Arkansas and a dynamic conference champion in Southern Miss. And then you'd have to go on the road if Arkansas winds up winning that regional. Now, if the Pirates win and someone else other than the Razorbacks do, then you're hosting a super regional next weekend. So it's all about, again, the slight randomness of regional play. And does Arkansas, who plays so well in Fayetteville, do they have a trip up at all twice and get knocked out of that by a very capable team? And then can you get through your own regional and suddenly you're sitting pretty for super? So, I mean, it's, you know, every regional has some very strange and unique elements to it. Greenville certainly has its quirks. Fayetteville has their quirks. Whoever makes it through these particular regionals is going to have to earn it, because next weekend, wherever it might be, is going to be a pretty titanic battle.
I want to ask you, by the way, the games, I know the games are this afternoon. The first game is going to be with Ohio State and being the 3 seed against the number 2 seed, South Carolina. I'm going to put you on the spot. What do you think? Who's going to come out of that one?
I mean, my initial inclination is South Carolina, because they've been probably the better team lately. And that's kind of a key part to this, is who is playing well heading into the tournament. South Carolina has played their best baseball over the last month and change. Ohio State is the more seasoned group in terms of coaching, in terms of players that have been in these positions before. But I like South Carolina's just overall depth in the lineup and depth in the pitching staff, because Ohio State gets a little bit weaker when you get to the back end of their pitching staff and their relief corps. So I think my initial inclination is to go with South Carolina here to open up tournament play tomorrow.
And then I know the 7 o'clock game is going to be the East Carolina Wilmington game. I'm not going to put you on the spot there. That's a tight game to call. We're going to hope the Pirates do very well. As far as the rest of the weekend, can you help fans understand and me understand? I know it's double elimination, but as far as have you seen any times regarding for Saturday, Sunday, and potentially Monday?
Yeah, I have, and I kind of have ballpark figures for this, and I can try and dial it up quickly here. But the simple thing to, I guess, remember is if the Pirates win, they will play at night the next day. So keep that in mind. They'll be kind of the primetime game. So they're at 7 o'clock tomorrow, and I believe it would be – it's either going to be 5 or 6 o'clock on Saturday for the night game, and the early game would be at 12 or 1. It's going to be in that ballpark there, and then similar setup for Sunday, where it'd be like an 11-5 setup. And the way to keep it all into focus is if the Pirates win, they are in the later game. And then if they need a game 7, I believe that's Monday at 4. Right. So kind of a late afternoon if a game 7 is needed. So Pirates win, they play at night. Pirates lose tomorrow, they'll play during the day. That's kind of the best way to go about that there. But those are kind of the ballparks that I have off the top of my head.
It's very interesting, I tell you what. I wanted to ask you, by the way, I was listening to Game Time with Josh Graham at the movie game they play, and I wanted to ask you, I was watching last night with my son, I was watching a great movie, Pee-wee's Big Adventure, and a lot of great lines for that. Is there any movies that are going to come to mind this weekend that you can throw in some lines that movie fans would know that you're doing?
Hoo-hoo. Now, I'll preface this by saying I don't add any lines on my own. I don't make any recommendations. It's all for the fans, all for the game, and all for, frankly, Spencer Brickhouse has become a big player in this, too. He's feeding me lines left and right, the Pirate first baseman. So I was at the watch party on Monday, and I already had a fan come up to me and give me a line to use from Back to the Future. So I'll be finding out, frankly, by the time that this probably drops, I'll have some lines already under my belt, courtesy of the kids at the game. I don't steer anybody in any particular direction. I let them come up with the genius, and I just try to funnel it out there. So whatever movies, whatever music, whatever TV shows that anybody has that want to, be put into the broadcast, I am open to whatever flies my way.
And can you give your Twitter handle in case people want to reach out to you? Maybe they'll give you some great movie lines or some lines for the broadcast.
I will always self-promote, Dave. Thank you. It is at Corey Glor, CoreyGloor. That's where you can send me any particular movie line that you would like. Or TV or music, you know, you don't want to hamstring it into just movies. you can do whatever you please, and I'll do my best to work them in.
One of my favorites is from A Few Good Men. You Can't Handle the Truth is one of my favorite lines from a movie of all time. So I'll give that. I'll do one, and I'm going to be one and done.
Okay.
College basketball player.
All
Corey,
right,
I appreciate you coming on, man. I know you took a lot of time with us. The big game is coming up tonight, big weekend, and I hope the Pirates, my hope is we can be talking next week and there's no jinx brought on by me.
You absolutely are hitting the nail on the head there. Hopefully we are talking this time next week and we're talking about super regional play, but it should be one heck of a weekend regardless of what happens.
And as a coach speak, we'll take one game at a time, and good luck on the broadcast. I can't wait to be listening to you. I've got a lot of stuff to work on this weekend, so I'm going to be relying on you once again between at work. So appreciate you very much for coming on and appreciate the broadcast.
I will do what I can to not let you down, Dave. Thank you.
Great interview there with Corey Glor of the Pirate IMG Sports Network, the voice of the ECU baseball team. What a great day this is going to be. I tell you what, folks, the Pirate preview, wanted to give this to you today as we're getting ready for the regionals in the matter of just a few hours, and we want to go ahead and drop this episode. It's going to be tremendous, and good luck to the Pirates. A lot of great teams out there, too, with I think it's 7 teams in North Carolina, 64 start today, so good luck to all of them. Of course, locally we have the Pirates at East Carolina. Again, good luck to them. People listening around the world to the games today, cannot wait for that. In fact, you can hear Corey Glor on the flagship station, which is 94.3 The Game. They have all the games on FM this year. And also, you can go to TuneIn Radio app. You can get that for the Pirate IMG Sports Network. They have that as well. It's going to be tremendous. And I know the games are going to be tremendous in Greenville. A lot of rocking crowd at Clark LeClaire Stadium. I would love to be in the jungle personally, but anywhere I could get a ticket, that would be fantastic. Unfortunately, I have to work, and so I can't make it, but I would love to be there. That would be tremendous, a lot of fun. But I definitely will be listening to Corey for sure. I want to remind you, as always, to definitely, once again, write a 5-star review. We appreciate all the people that are giving us feedback. That would be awesome to have more reviews. Helps us get more sponsors as well, so we appreciate that very much. You can like us on Facebook, actually, and as well on Twitter. I've used Twitter so much recently because so many people are starting to follow us, so I appreciate that very much. And it's at TheSportsOBJ is our Twitter handle, at TheSportsOBJ. You can follow us on Instagram, and that's at TheSportsObjective, and we would love for you to be there. You can actually, as well, email me personally, DavidRichman@TheSportsOBJ, and that'll be very interesting, .com. DavidRichman@TheSportsObjective.com. You can go there and give us feedback. Emails certainly will be tremendous. And don't forget, once again, we're going to have a great month, and actually 2 months, as we get ready for the football season coming up in 2018. Hard to believe that the Pirates are going to start Labor Day weekend, and that'll be coming up in Dowdy-Ficklin Stadium, Bagwell Field, and that'll be coming up against North Carolina A&T in September. But in the meantime, we got the great watch party, as we're going to give you games that you can watch with us, myself and Kyle Barber, Kyle from LaGrange, and he and I are going to watch games and talk about them. The first one's coming up very soon this month, and that'll be the Pirates going to Raleigh to take on Miami, the Hurricanes. The Floyd Bowl is Hurricane Floyd. It came in Greenville. They could not play the game at Dowdy-Ficklin Stadium, so it had to be a home game in Raleigh, a very unique situation, so that's going to be tremendous there as well. We'll start that very soon here in the month of June. And then also, don't forget about our podcast party, July the 21st, at Saturday night, 7 to 9, at Professor O'Cool's in Greenville. It's at the that's the Big Lodge Shopping Center, not too far from the Greenville Mall on Greenville Boulevard. Love to have you out that night. A lot of former Pirate players are going to be there. They're going to be actually on the phone. It's going to be a tremendous night as we have our very first live podcast party event. It gives you a chance to come meet us and myself, and there's going to be a lot of my friends and family, and a lot of Pirate fans are going to go to Professor O'Cool's. That's going to be a tremendous evening, and I cannot wait for that. July the 21st, and that's 7 to 9. I'd love for you to check that out. My special thanks again to our two great guests. I can't believe that we had such a great Pirate preview here today, and certainly getting ready for the NCAA Regional. We had, of course, Dave Nathan, my friend from the Tar Heel Sports Network. We've been friends again for many years, almost a decade. He's got the big regional today in Chapel Hill. And then Corey Glore, certainly another great guest from the Pirate IMG Sports Network, the ECU baseball voice, and he does a tremendous job there. Again, don't forget, you can always listen on the for the Pirates. You can listen on 94.3 The Game and the flagship station of ECU baseball, and certainly you can also listen on the TuneIn radio, the TuneIn app as well on your smartphone, and there's a Pirate IMG. You can just search for that, and you can get the games there as well. Had a fun time as always. Good luck to all the North Carolina teams, especially the Pirates. It's going to be an interesting weekend, and certainly hopefully we can have another podcast about the EC baseball team next week. Until next time, enjoyed being with you. Good luck to all the teams, and you've been listening to the Sports Objective Podcast.
You've been listening to the Sports Objective Podcast. Join us next time as the guys will be objective, and the objective is sports.